thank you for joining us for episode 49 of Head Start, a weekly podcast to help Liberty's adult and student ministry life group leaders prepare for the upcoming lesson. So today we'll begin our time together looking at sort of a leadership moment, just a reminder or informational, actually, of a way that we're going to be reminding you guys as adult life group leaders, student ministry life group leaders, of our Live It Out. So our desire on Sunday mornings is that there's a passage that's being preached in life group. We are discussing that passage, and we wrap up our time together with this desire, this aim, this target of then going out into the week and applying the truth of that passage to our life. Our material is written. Each lesson has a Live It Out, a way that's sort of an application of that passage that we're challenging, we're urging, we're double dog daring our people to go out and then apply the truth of that passage to their life during the week. And so we'd like to create a rhythm of reminders. You know, in the past, we've asked leaders to send those reminders out. So here's a new rhythm that we're going to employ. One is the first Sunday of the month. I'll be sending a message out to you, life group leaders, that includes that Live It Out, the two Live It Outs, and encouraging you guys to forward that message out to the folks in your group, just as a reminder of the Live It Out that you discussed on that Sunday. Week two of the month, we're going to have a social media post that just post on social media, the Live It Out, so you can read it and see it, and just a soft reminder of that. In week three of the month, there will be a card in your bin on that Sunday morning, and on that card we'll have the Live It Out printed. And we're going to ask you as life group leaders to hand those cards out to the folks in your groups. So as a soft reminder to help apply the truth of that passage to their life. And then finally, week four, we'll do another social media post, but this one will be a little different. We'll do a video, and that video would be either a staff member or one of you guys as a leader that would put together a 60-second challenge to remind, as a reminder, and to go out and apply the truth of the Live It Out to our life during that week. So just be aware of that. It is so important that we keep the Live It Out in front of our people, because that's our goal, right, is to engage with God's Word and then apply its truth to our life during the week. So just know that that's coming, and or is actually, we're living in it right now, so you should have been seeing it. So encourage your folks to apply the truth of God's Word. So this week, we're going to be looking, as we look at we continue in our sermon series, Chasing the Wind. We'll be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Tim will be covering that passage with us. But before we step into covering the passage, I'll start by referencing the measure, right? So our measures are marks, the marks of a disciple, the indicators that we are a disciple of Christ. And we've not arrived at any of these measures, right? And so specifically, we're going to look at being a student who's living changed, right? A student who is constantly learning and growing. So here's the reality. As students, as disciples, there's not a time that we've arrived. There's not a time that we've arrived at sinless perfection. And we've got this whole living the Christian walk down to perfection. That God's still working on me. He's still changing me. He's still growing me. He's still maturing me in my faith. And so just know that. And that's the case for the folks in your group as well, and you also. So as a student who is constantly learning and growing, it is wise to be intentional about the words that you speak and the attitude you approach God with. So I can remember as Nicholas and Marie were little, and there would be words that would come from their mouth, and there would be correction that came from either Tanya or myself. And many times the correction was this: it's not what you said, but it's the way you said it. choose your words wisely. And that is the case of not just for our children and our relationship to our children, but us also, right? There's sometimes that we come screaming, not literally, but figuratively screaming into the presence of God, and we say things that maybe we ought not say. And I believe so many times it's an indicator of our heart. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, and as a student who is living changed, understand that God's still working on us, and allow Him, slow down, in before the words come out, do these words bring honor? Do they bring glory to God? Choose your words wisely as we think about our measure moment today. So let's look at this passage, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 1 through 7.
All right. Thank you, Matt. And as we continue to grow as students who live differently, part of that difference is how we approach God, definitely. And the context that we're looking in chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, really is that of a person coming into the presence of God, or a worshiper walking into the house of God, that holy sanctuary. Now, in Solomon's days, the house of God would have been the temple in Jerusalem. But what he says applies to us as we enter into our time of worship and our places of worship for the Lord. And so as we go to worship, Solomon is telling us to be careful, watch our step, be careful how you enter, be careful how you speak, be careful how you make vows and promises to the Lord. In other words, there is a right way to approach a holy God in worship, and there is a wrong way to enter into His presence. And you kind of get the idea that as Solomon is evaluating this life under the sun, perhaps he is observing outside the house of the Lord, the temple, worshipers coming and going, watching those who are praising God and praying and sacrificing and making vows. And maybe he's just watching and noting how they live out that faith or not. He noted that many of them were not at all sincere in their approach to God, and they left that holy place of worship maybe in a worse place spiritually than when they entered because of their insincerity in their worship. And so, what is their sin? Well, part of it is robbing God of the reverence and honor and glory and worship that He deserves. And so as we look at chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, The passage really has two important imperatives that kind of begin it and end it. In verse 1, guard your steps. And verse 7, fear God. And so let me just read some of the verses out of this passage out of the ESV, since Kyle entitled the lesson today, Be Not Rash. That comes right out of the ESV.
It's exactly what Solomon wrote.
Yeah, and so, that's what God said. So, verse 1, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let the heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few, for a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When we look into that, those two bookend imperatives, guard your steps and fear God, have many other admonitions in between them, some of them more negative. Do not be rash or hasty with your mouth. Do not delay in fulfilling your vow or paying it. Don't let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say that it was a mistake when you make a vow to the Lord and then come back and say, that was a mistake. I really didn't mean that. And so the big picture as we're looking at it, it matters how we approach our Heavenly Father in worship, how we approach a holy God. One commentator, beginning of a chapter in dealing with chapter 5, he entitled it Sandals Off, Mouth Shut. And so kind of sends the message. That's what's being said here. Approach God as a holy God and listen more than you speak. As I looked at the text, I just kind of broke it down in my mind in phrases pulled out several phrases, four phrases that to me break down the seven verses. It's simply guard your steps, watch your words, keep your vows, and fear the Lord. And so in my mind, as I'm studying through this, that's kind of the way that I'm breaking it down in the passage. There are some overarching truths that I think we don't need to miss. One, it does matter to God how we approach Him in our worship, privately, but also corporately. Even in our corporate worship, it's not to impress men, it's not to be seen by men, but it is to come before a holy God with our hearts surrendered and listen far more than we speak. Another idea that we hear or truth that we see here is God does examine our heart in our times of worship. And there is worship that is pleasing, and there's worship that doesn't please. There's worship that is acceptable, and then there's attitudes and worship that is unacceptable. And so the reality is we cannot say enough words to impress a holy God. We cannot give enough sacrifices to earn His favor with our activity. Rather, we come and bring Him the reverence, the worship that He deserves. And so as we study the text, it begs us to evaluate our own heart and our life as we approach God. Are we ready to listen to His voice? Or we're just here to go through the motions of our routine of worship? Is our heart open to what God says, to spiritual instruction through His Word? Or am I just here to check the box and go through empty ritual in my weekly routine? Are my ears attentive to the message that God is saying? So that first imperative is guard your steps. It means to proceed with caution, or proceed here in reverence to God. You get the picture of Moses in front of the burning bush and hearing the Lord speak to him, take your shoes off because you're on holy ground. So guard your steps, proceed with reverence, enter into the presence of a holy God thoughtfully, appropriately, respectfully. We are approaching Him who is holy and set apart above any other. And we can come boldly before this God at His invitation out of Hebrews, because we come in Christ, and we come through Christ, who is our mediator. But as we enter in, as we come into the house of the Lord and the place of worship, we are to do so reverently, in a way that honors Him, to guard our steps. When I heard that phrase, I couldn't help but reflect of maybe hearing myself and some other parents when kids are pushing that envelope of being disrespectful. How many times have I heard, you better watch your step? And so that's kind of what Solomon is cautioning us here. As we approach a holy God, we better watch our step. Guard your steps. He touched on several aspects of worship. One was offering sacrifices. Today we don't offer animal sacrifices to the Lord, because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, who died once for all for our sin. And His shed blood is sufficient. It needs not to be repeated. But as we enter in today as the children of God, who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, who come knowing that Jesus is our one mediator between us and God. We do offer sacrifices. We offer ourselves. Paul said, present your body to be a living sacrifice. We offer our serve to the Lord, and even that disciple-making relationships to the Lord of helping people know Christ and grow to be like Him. We bring our offering to the Lord. That's a sacrifice that we give of our tithe and offering. We sing and we pray and we offer our praise, our thanksgiving to the Lord. Sometimes we offer a broken heart to the Lord. That's where life has us. And we pour out our tears to the Lord, our prayers of faith. So as Solomon talks about sacrifices, he's basically saying that, you know, the fool enters in without any regard for his heart and goes through an empty ritual of offering a sacrifice to please a holy God. And the caution is, it's better to come in silence than with many words. Be ready to hear and obey rather than just offering substitutes for obedience in our mind of this ritual or these sacrifices. Offerings in our hands given to God without obedient faith are what Solomon would call sacrifices of fool. That they have no meaning to a holy God because they're empty. They have no meaning to us. So he cautioned against just careless, insincere religious activity that he called sacrifices. For they don't even, they're so hypocritical on one hand, maybe they don't even know that they're doing evil. It's just a routine, but their hearts are not where they need to be. Verses 2 and 3, he warned against careless praying, perhaps. Praying to God is serious, but be not rash with your mouth. Listen more than you speak. Don't let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. That's kind of a tongue-in-cheek to put us in place of knowing that we need to hear from God more than He needs to hear our words to Him. And don't be careless in praying. Don't be hasty with too many words. And our minds go to Jesus' warning and caution in places in the New Testament like Matthew 6 about praying with many words, using vain repetitions, or praying to be seen by others when the heart is not where it needs to be. And the best way we can approach a holy God is with a prepared heart. And let our words be few and our hearts be right. Just keep in mind, as Solomon speaks of fools and how they approach God, the fool is someone who is disobedient. So someone who is not seeking to draw near sincerely to a holy God, but whose life has hypocrisy in it. Solomon describes a fool here as one who comes in the presence of God but is not ready to listen, much less obey what God says through His Word. So the foolish person, and we can be this person at times, goes through the motions of worship without any intention to obey what he hears. They would stand and sing with all their might, "I surrender all," without surrendering anything. We exalt Thee, O Lord, without exalting the Lord. And I love the illustration someone told of a little girl singing in church beside her mom. And they were singing that song, "We Exalt Thee, O Lord." And mom looked down to her four-year-old daughter who was singing at the top of her lungs. And when mom stopped singing and started listening to her daughter was saying, "We exalt Thee, O God, we exalt Thee." And perhaps that is the more accurate picture of how our worship impacts a holy God at times. When we come with unprepared hearts, when we come insincerely, when we do not check ourselves at the door, our hearts, and guard our steps, perhaps we exalt our holy Heavenly Father more than we honor Him. Verse 3 is really, really interesting. You might have to let Kyle figure out that common proverb that is there, that analogy that is there. It's just a weird verse. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. It could be a proverb that has a metaphorical meaning to it of just having big dreams and many words, but nothing behind it, nothing to back it up. So Kyle nodded in affirmation that, hey, that's
the old head there.
You know, in the excess of big dreams with nothing to back it up, Solomon would probably say there's an abundance of vanity there, futility, and there's an abundance of words without meaning, just nothing to back them up. So don't be rash with your words. Don't be hasty with them before a holy God. God is in heaven, you're on earth. In other words, as Matt said, we haven't arrived yet. We need to hear from him more than he needs to hear us babble on. And so approaching him in reverence, approaching him with a listening ear and with a heart that is surrendered and a desire to obey. And then verses 4 through 7, he spent some time talking about vows made to the Lord. God does not require his people to make such vows in order to be accepted by him. But the opportunity was there, and throughout Scripture we see vows that were made. And, you know, bottom line to me in a simple mindset is, you're not required to make a vow, but if you make a vow to God, you better be ready to keep it. And if you make a promise, a vow to your Heavenly Father, not be ready to keep it, but be timely and being obedient in what you tell the Lord that you're going to do for his honor and for his glory. I think there's a warning of avoiding two pitfalls or sins. First, making a vow with no intention of keeping it. In other words, you're just outright lying to God. And the fool would do that, full of hypocrisy, make a vow probably out loud so that other people can hear it, but there's really no heart behind it to obey or follow through. The second sin is making a vow but delaying to keep it, hoping, you know, we might get out of it in time. And he said, no, don't come to the messenger and say, oh, that was a mistake. I really didn't mean that. Say what you mean what you say, and if you're not going to intend to back up what you tell the Lord you want to do for his glory, then you're better off not making any vow at all. Sometimes it comes out like this in real life. God, if you'll just do this for me, if you will just get me out of this circumstance, if you will forgive me one more time, or if you will come through with this job or whatever, then I'm going to give 500 admissions. And God comes through and we don't. And so that's what Solomon is warning against. And you can think of the times in your life, maybe you've been there and you prayed to the Lord, Lord, if you come through, then I will do. If you get me here, then I'm going to serve. If I can make this much money, then I'll start giving. And, if I can get off some vacation, extra vacation time, then I will go on this mission trip. And God comes through often in those specific ways, and sometimes we fall short. But it ends with that last admonition. God is the one you must fear. It matters how you approach God in worship. Guard your steps and fear the Lord. And so probably a whole lot more needs to be said and can be said, but I'm going to stop my words and not babble on. So let life group leaders figure that one out. So.
Tim says, I'm going to apply this passage.
That's right.
Let your words be few.
Let your words
you
be
few. Wished I did that on Sunday morning.
Well, I think this is a very sobering passage for each and every one of us. And I think it really is a great passage for us specifically as leaders. One of the questions in the curriculum is, how can you guard your steps as you come into the presence of God? And just as as leaders, whether you're on staff or you're a life group leader, how many Sunday mornings are you entering into time of worship with all sorts of other things on your mind, with all sorts of other things, you know, that you are concerned about? And, you know, I think through personally, just, you know, at times singing or being there before getting up to preach and reviewing things in my mind before I get up on the platform, instead of really being present and singing or praying if someone else is leading in prayer. You know, if you know, Tim or Brian is preaching and I'm going to be leading my life group, how many times am I trying to maybe take notes for other people that I'm going to be leading in a life group rather than taking it in for myself first? And so I think there are, particularly for us as leaders, this passage is a really good passage for us to pause and consider for ourselves. And I think that will help us in our life groups to say, hey, what are some practical ways for me personally as a leader that I need to guard my steps as I come into worship? And then that can open up a discussion in your group for others to share how they may struggle in guarding their steps as they come into the presence of God, and how some practical, tangible things may need to change. And so that can lead to a really good discussion. And then the live it outs are very much related to that. Number one, evaluate your typical approach to God in worship. It says of God in worship. And consider how you can better posture yourself to hear from Him. So our kids are all in soccer right now, and we've been kind of talking through things with them as they go to a game or a match, talking about that the preparation for that doesn't begin when they get there that morning for the game. The preparation actually begins by the day before, making sure they're eating well and getting to bed on time, and they're ready for the game the next morning. Well, what does it look like for us, you know, on the weekends? Are we preparing ourselves before we get here on a Sunday morning? Are we making sure that we're, you know, taking care of our bodies, that we're giving ourselves rest, that we're getting up in a timely manner so that we're not rushing around and we're not just walking in or running into the worship center or the East Venue? You know, this can get very, very tangible, very practical for us in terms of how do we better approach coming before the Lord in worship and gathering with our people. So, you know, have fun with that, live it out, and
that's
get
good.
Creative.
You often hear, you know, Sunday, being in church on Sunday is a Saturday decision. So, and that is a preparation, not just planning. So
right.
Preparing the heart and mind, as well as making tangible plans that we're going to be there and be there on time. Yep. And that way we can get the full benefit of being in the house of the Lord. So it is very tangible, very practical.
Yeah. Well, and then the second, live it out. What often causes you to use rash words, and how can you seek to refrain from doing so going forward? You know, that admonition in James that we should be slow to speak and slow to anger, because certainly anger is probably what causes a lot of our rash words at times. So that wisdom of being slow to speak and not being rash with our words, I think all of us can probably learn from that at different points throughout the week and be reminded of it. So live it out this week should be very challenging.
Yeah, yep. Well, thank you, fellas, so much for speaking into the lives of our leaders as we seek to guide our life groups. We have one announcement that we want to keep in front of you. Vacation Bible School is quickly approaching. We've been talking about this for some time. We still have a need for a handful of more adults and students, probably about 20 we could use of adults or teenagers to help make the week go smoothly. So, leaders, if you keep that in front of your group and encourage them to go to our website, and they can, the folks in your group can register as a leader, and we'll follow up and get them connected in the appropriate spot for Vacation Bible School. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast, and we will see you on Sunday.